For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November the 27th, 1999. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Null of Salina, Kansas is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask you now, Lord God, just to anoint the words as they come forth, Lord God. Let your pure word come forth.
Yes.
For your word is spirit. It is truth, Lord. Let it go down into the heart, Lord God, and touch the hearts, Lord, and bring forth a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Something we haven't said much about, I wanted to spend a little time on, was about your keeping your deliverance. And it says in Matthew that an evil spirit goes out of a place. It walks in dry places looking for rest. And there's certain expositors will say that that word rest means actually a place of recreation. And finding none, he says he wants to come back to his house. Gets back to his house, and he finds it clean and garnished and put in order. He goes out and gets seven more spirits worse than himself and comes in. And the state of the man is worse than it was to start with. That's sort of scary. That's Bible law. And I say to you, once you come to deliverance and you've repented, you know, Irma says if people would just come with old-fashioned repentance, wouldn't have to have great problems getting deliverance.
Right.
Because sin, most of the time, sin somehow or other, is most of the time the basis for demonic infiltration and demonic oppression. Your sin, somebody else's sin, your ancestor's sin. Sometimes demons will come in just if you have a very frightening experience. Childhood trauma. When I was a small boy living in Alabama, we had an old house that had a clapboard siding on it. You know, the kind that sort of had a slant to it. And then when they nailed the door casing up around it, there was a hole at every slant. And spiders crawled in these holes and made their nest. And I can remember standing by the front door, and this beautiful blue-yellow butterfly flew down and landed about 20 inches from my face. And I was about 3 or 4 years old. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I looked at that beautiful butterfly, and this big, black, hairy spider jumped out from one of those cracks in the door there and grabbed that butterfly and balled him up in a net. And I screamed. It terrified me. And I had a fear of spiders until I got deliverance. 40 years later. If I saw a spider, I would walk a block around him rather than get near him. I mean, I'd get a lump in my throat. My mouth would get dry. And I would just get, and I'd have what psychiatrists call free-floating anxiety. I was just, I'd be breaking out in a cold sweat, and it just, and I'd get away from that thing. And it then manifested itself as fear of high places. I can remember going into our high school and walking on the inside of the stairs going up because the stairs went up, you know, and there was a hole down the middle, and you looked down, you could see all the way to the basement. And I walked over next to the wall all the way up, always. Except when a fire drill, I was on the outside line. It just would terrify me to get close to the minister. And I had other fears. But eventually God delivered me from the spirit of fear. And that fear came in not as a result of sin, but as a result of a traumatic childhood experience. And sometimes just a traumatic childhood experience can allow a spirit to come in. We had a pastor who testified at the Deliverance Pastors Conference about working as an ambulance driver when he was in high school, and when he was called to his first wreck, which was a really bloody thing. And they had three or four people killed, and they were maimed all the highway. And he had a spirit of fear came in, and he was always afraid when his wife left or one of his loved ones left that they were going to be killed in an automobile accident. And he would just sit and pray, oh, God, don't let anything happen to him. Don't let anything happen. Don't let him die until he got deliverance. And so sin is not always the cause. But you could say somebody's sin is some of those people who caused the wreck. I don't know about the butterfly and the spider. I don't know you'd call that sin. In most cases, demonic infiltration and oppression comes as a result of somebody's sin. And you need to repent and turn from the sin, confess it, ask God's cleansing, and tell it to go. And that happens. Now, if you don't feel like anything happened, then you wonder. And that the crux of delivery is, did you change? Now, I was at a prayer meeting one night, and a man named Joe Williams was there. And Joe picked me out of the crowd. And he said, you know, you were sold to Satan before you were born. Your great-great-grandfather was an Indian Choctaw Indian shaman, and he sold your soul to the devil for his power. You want to be free of it? Yeah, I knew I had Indian blood. I wasn't sure what tribe or what the relationship was because my parents never talked about it. And for various reasons. And because my father forbid it to be talked about. And so, but I knew it was there. And so he said, stand up. I stood up. He said, hold up your hands and praise God. And I looked up and looked right in this blinding light. And I don't know what happened. I just know I shook all over a little bit, and that's all. But you know, the next day, the nurses at the hospital begin to say, what happened to you? That's what I mean. I said, you're different. You've changed. I said, your voice is softer. I said, I'm not afraid of you like I used to be. I said, afraid of me? I was shocked. I said, yeah. I said, well, you said, something's happened to you. I said, well, I had the devil cast out of me. And you know what they said? We agree with that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we agree with that. I mean, you should know. People should be able, you should know that something's happened to you. Okay. Now, when you go home, well, when you go to bed tonight, that demon may come sit on your bed and say, I'm coming back in. He may just come sit on your bed and say, I'm coming back in. You hadn't lost me. I'm still here. And you say, oh, no. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm a child of God. You've got no right to me. You've got no right, no heritage, no memorial in this place.
Hallelujah.
And I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to be gone. Now, you need to bind the demons. I've had lots of experiences with demons appearing to me. Once I was on my way home and the Lord told me to go by this man's office. He was an Episcopal pastor, and said, just go by his office. So I went over and I drove up to it. I felt this strong impression. I didn't hear an audible voice say, go by Art's office. I got this strong impression I should go there. So I went there, and he was crying. His wife had served papers on him for divorce that day. Their relationship had been somewhat rocky for some time, and so I prayed deliverance for him. Prayed against rejection and talked to him and prayed for him. And I went home, and I lay down on the bed. I got in. It was hot in the room, and I had a window air conditioner in this little room. I didn't like it because it made a lot of noise, so I opened the windows and cut it off. And I took off everything but my skivvies and got in bed and covered up with this sheet, you know. And I just pillow had just, my head had just hit the pillow, and through the door came a big pair of black, hairy hands. I mean, moving. I saw them coming. I said, "I bind you." And that's in. And that's as far as I got before they had me around the throat. Jesus. And when I got Jesus out, they turned loose and went down to the floor. And, you know, I thought I was dreaming, you know. But what they did was they, before they grabbed me, they pulled the sheet off and threw it in the corner. And I got up and she was in the corner. And I looked at my throat and I had these marks on my throat. Red marks where somebody tried to strangle me. And I said, "My goodness." Now the next morning I went to work and one of the nurses said, "Dr. Null's got a hickey on his neck." And I went, "Lord," and that was his mark there. And she said, "Where'd that come from, Dr. Null?" And I said, "If I told you, you wouldn't believe me."
Yes.
So I went home and put my turtleneck on. And all I wore that turtleneck for a week until those marks on my neck disappeared. So nobody could see my hickeys. And so demons are real. But you've got the authority to bind them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You got the authority to bind them. And if they come sit on your bed, you say, "I bind you in Jesus' name. You ain't got no right in me. No right, no memorial, no heritage here. I bind you and command you to go. I bind you in Jesus' name. Be gone. Lord, get him out of him. Bind him up with angels. Bind him up with chains." That word bind means to tie up with chains.
Yes.
And that literally happens in the spirit. That literally happens. Or you'll get home and he'll send some nice friend by to see you.
Yes, he will.
And he'll say, "Well, now, you, what happened to you? Demons? Oh, come on now. That's that medieval superstition. Come on, let's be reasonable and logical about this thing." Now, the devil is a very reasonable and logical fella. Just remember that logic and reason come from the world system. Just remember that. And remember that the whole system, world system, lies in the lap of the evil one. Now, God can use it any way he wants to. He gave us penicillin during the war. Y'all know that? Y'all ever heard the story of Dr. Walkman? Dr. Walkman was, you know, penicillin was first isolated in England by, I can't remember his name now, Fleming, yeah. He was first isolated in the laboratories in a laboratory accident, but it was excreted by the penicillinase mole, but they couldn't get enough of it to make it commercially available. When the war began to loom, more people died in the trenches in World War I from infectious and tetanus than did from gunshot wounds. And so they needed something to fight infection. And Hitler had sulfur drugs, and he was keeping it a secret. And so they began to look for a penicillin mold that put out more penicillin. And they hired a man from a little town called Gallion, Alabama, 9 miles, or Prairieville, Alabama, I'm sorry, 9 miles from my hometown. And he was an agronomist at the University of Wisconsin. And they had a laboratory in Peoria, Illinois. And he was sending all over the world getting soil samples and isolating molds. And one day he records in his journal that he was walking down the street. He got off the bus and he was walking down the street and he passed a fruit stand. And he said when he got to the corner, waiting on the street light to change, the Spirit of God turned him around and said, "Go look behind the fruit stand." And so he went behind, looked behind the fruit stand. There was a moldy orange on the ground. He picked it up, carried it to his laboratory, and that is a mold from which we get penicillin today. And he recorded in his journal, his personal journal, that this Jesus Christ had given him the mold.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now, you make what you want to of that, but that's a true story. So God can use the world system. As, you know, he's in charge. He's the boss.
Amen.
The devil is subject to him. The devil can do nothing without his approval. He makes the rules. But I say to you, the devil will send somebody to be real, logical, and reasonable. I've seen more people lose their healing. I've seen Dr. Prince and Oral Roberts did a survey once of the number of people who had bona fide, documented miracles. How many of them still had miracles at the end of the year? 25%. 75% of those people who had documented miracles had allowed the devil to steal them. And he stole them mostly by having some nice person, some relative, talk to them. I remember one lady got healed of glaucoma in our charismatic prayer group. And God just sovereignly healed her. And she stopped taking her medicine. And this lady, who was her friend, didn't believe it. Kept on every day. Have you taken your eye drops? You put your eye drops in today? And it finally, she said, no, my eyes have been healed. You better put your eye drops in. You better put your eye drops in. You're going to go blind. And it broke up that friendship. I thought it was going to break up the prayer group. But that was the Spirit working through that woman trying to steal that healing. And so I say to you, don't let the devil steal your deliverance. That's the first thing. He'll try to steal it. The second thing is, he'll send temptation into your life. I mean, he will send, if you fall into sexual sin, he will send the most beautiful folks you've ever seen in your life, the most tempting folks. He'll put you in situations. If you've had trouble with greed, I pulled up to the bank the other day, and I wrote a check for $2,000. I mean, for $1,000. I'm sorry. I wrote a check for $200 for my cash. And the lady handed me an envelope. And I normally get 10 20s. And I looked at it, and I never seen so many $100 bills in all my life. There's $50 bills, $20 bills, $100 bills. I don't know how much money she has. It's about this thick, you know. I looked at it, and I said, she'd gone. I pushed the button. I said, how much did I write that check for? She said, $200. I said, lady, you better count this money again because there's far too much money in here. And she looked at it, and her eyes came out on stems and rolled back. She said, thank you. And she gave me my $200. I got a letter from the bank president thanking me. And she said, Doctor, why'd you do that? She asked me, she said, why'd you do this? I said, either you're honest or you're unhonest. Either you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. You take something that don't belong to you, you're not a Christian. I mean, you've got no right to that. But I'll tell you what he will do. He'll open the door. He'll open the door for him to come in and stomp you. Willful sin. And he will figure out ways. He'll try to get you mad. He'll try to get you angry. He'll try to get you. He'll have people come and come against you. And you try to get you angry. Try to get you mad. Try to get you unforgiving. So that he can come back in and cause you to lose your healing. He'll send witches to curse you. And so I say to you, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus and don't go back into sin. Remember, Galatians 5:19 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not gratify the flesh. Walk in the flesh, open yourself to sin. Open yourself to sin, open yourself to demonic influence. Now, the demon doesn't come in every time you sin, but it can. As long as it remains unconfessed, he's got a right to you. And if you've been delivered, I can assure you it'll be right back the minute. Because that booger is one just like it. The one that we bound has gone off to the pit in chains. But there's another one just like it walking right behind you, waiting on you. Because he wants you back. The devil wants you back in bondage. And so, Galatians 5:22 says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh and its lust and its passions. And so I warn you about deliverance is not an event in your life. Most folks think if they can just come and get delivered, they won't have any more problems. They can just walk away and they never have any more problems. Well, you know, there's a place used to be And there used to be a place in Lexington, Kentucky, was the only place where you could get treated for dope addiction. It was the only place you could send somebody with heroin addiction. It was a public health hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. And I used to get addicts all the time who would come by, and I was living in Grant, Alabama, and they would, "I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I'm on my way to Lexington, Kentucky, by the way, of Grant, Alabama. And I need just enough dope to get through till I can get up there. I'm a daddy," and, you know, you just, "Oh, go on, get out of here." And they'd have some of the most convincing, they're all con men, you know. They're con artists deluxe. Witchcraft like you can't believe. But the point of telling you this is that the retrition rate at Lexington was 98%. I mean, 98% of them came back, they came up, got put off, come out, recycled in 75, 2 or 3 years later, they back. Why? Because the only reason they ever came in was they just wanted to get their dope habit down where they could afford it. They didn't want to stop taking dope. They just couldn't afford it anymore. They no longer get by on a $5 bag. It took cost $100 a day, and they couldn't steal that much. This was back in 1950. They couldn't steal that much anymore, and so they just had to go in and get their habit down to where they could afford it. Lots of folks want deliverance, but they want to leave here and stay in sin. And I see them back here again. And they're always worse when they come back. And then I see them back again. And they're always mad at God. It's always God's fault. So I say to you, deliverance is not an event. It's a walk. It is a daily walk of deliverance and healing until Jesus comes. And God will set you free today as much as you can walk in. He didn't give the land of Cana in one day. He said, "There are too many beasts out there. I'm going to give you as much as you can control, and when you work that out, we'll take some more. Give you the land little by little, and He's going to give you deliverance little by little." Now, lots of times you get dramatic. I got dramatic deliverance tonight. Joe Williams prayed for me. But he sent me down here, and he said, "You need to go down to see Irman Glenn at Lake Hamilton because you need some more help." And I came down, and I got help. I've been here ever since. I just want to talk to you about your deliverance, that you be aware. Don't go cast your pearls before the swine. They'll turn and render you. Now, you need to witness, but ask the Holy Spirit who you should witness to. You go and witness to Tom, Dick, and Harry without discernment, without using good judgment. Man, those old wild boars got teeth this long. They just turn and tear you to pieces. So ask God who you're supposed to witness to. He'll show you where you're supposed to go and who you're supposed to witness. You're supposed to witness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who He has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Well, you need to say so. The word of your testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Hallelujah.
Your testimony is a powerful weapon. But use good judgment. Use good judgment. Now today, anybody got any questions on that? I can talk for a long time about it, but I think I've covered most of the points. Anybody got any questions? Today I want to talk to you about the sins of the fathers. That's sort of a simple subject to talk about, and I've talked about it numbers of times here, but the question keeps coming up to me, and God sort of witnessed to me this afternoon. I'm supposed to talk about the sins of the fathers. And some people say, how do the sins of my fathers affect me? Now, this is a controversial subject. I listened to two fine fundamental preachers, Tad, Derek Prince, and Frank Hammond's book apart, Sins of the Fathers. He's got Blessing and Cursing over there by Derek Prince, and Frank Hammond has Sins of the Fathers. They're both good books. I like Derek's better than I like Derek's book because that's pretty much the same revelation God gave me. He gave me the one on blessing and cursing. And I came down, and I had a hard time with blessing and curses. And I prayed about it, and I had a... And God gave me a vision in which I saw a number of things. He gave me a number of scriptures, and I wrote them all down, and I came down to see Glenn. And Glenn said, I showed them to Glenn, and Glenn said, "It's from God." And so I wrote it up, and then I got a mailing from Derek Prince, and he had three tapes. on the blessing and curses. And so I sent and got his tapes. And you know he had my revelation. See, the thing about God is God doesn't give a revelation exclusively to anybody. He sort of spreads it around. He spreads it around. I mean, you know, he owns all the wisdom in the world. All the wisdom and the knowledge is tied up in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Said Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God and the strength of God. And all the wisdom and knowledge is tied up in Jesus Christ. You know, the Japanese ended World War II with the same weapons they started. And those weapons they'd gotten from this country. Now, they're a heathen nation. They're no Christians. There were no Christians over there then, very few Christians over there now. And most of the things, they have very few innovations over there. They take what they can get from the Americans, and they perfect manufacturing techniques, and they work people a little cheaper than we do. And they have a highly disciplined society where they can produce things cheaper. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So, the sins of the fathers. First, I want you to open your Bibles to Exodus 35, 34. Exodus 34. There's so much here that I will just give you part. I just want to cover the basic essentials.
While you're looking for that,
I got it right here.
Tell you how you can change your mind. When Derek Prince was at our house, and he was praying for us for something, and I mentioned to him, I think that came from our fathers. He said, oh, no, that can't be. Galatians 3:13 said Jesus became our curse. Now then he's turned around and found out and written a whole book about it, contrary to what he used to believe. So you see, we need to see the Word and then do what it says.
Now, if we look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, here we find Moses going back up on Mount Sinai to take the second set of tablets up. And verse 4, so he cut two tablets of stone like the first one, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. He took with him the two tablets of stone. Then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, in Hebrew, the name indicates the nature. Now, he proclaimed his nature before Moses. He passed in front of him and proclaimed his nature. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And then he says, by no means clearing the guilty. Now, if you have a New International or a New American Standard, it says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, that is the nature of God. Now, if you've got a pencil, you can look in Lamentations 5, 7 to 18. You can look in Psalms 103, 17. You can look in Exodus 20, 4-6. You can look in Numbers 14, 18. You can look in Jeremiah 32:18, where it says it recompenses the sins of the fathers into the bosom of the children to the third and the fourth generation. You can look at Deuteronomy 5. You can look at Isaiah 65:7. You can look at Amos 4:2, just a few of them, where it all says the same thing. You see, that many scriptures on something, you have to say that you can establish a doctrine on that. John Wesley said if you could find three scriptures that agreed, you could establish a doctrine. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. And so that is the nature of God, to recompense the sins of the fathers into the bosom of the children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, some places it runs a little more than that. Let's look at Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. One of an illegitimate birth shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the congregation of the Lord. That's The bast, that's the curse of the bastard. It runs 10 generations. The Ammonite, and the Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the congregation of the Lord forever. Now, the Ammonites and the Moabites were products of incest. They were products of Lot's children, of Lot and his daughters. Okay. I said, Lord, where is that in the Bible? Show me an instance of it. Let's look at David. Let's turn to Matthew 1. Now, you all know that the first king of Israel, well, first, before you turn to Matthew 1, turn to Genesis chapter 49. Now, Genesis chapter 49 is where Jacob prophesied over his children. Bring with verse 8. Judah, you are he whom his brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah's a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rise him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh comes. The kings will prophesy to come out of the tribe of Judah. David was from the tribe of Judah. Now, the kings were prophesied to come. Well, why? Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. There's nothing said in the prophecy about a king from the tribe of Benjamin, only Judah. Now, Judah had an episode in Genesis. What chapter in Genesis is that? Glenn, that Judah committed incest. All right, 38. If you read chapter 38, you will find that Judah committed incest with his daughter-in-law Tamarah, and she gave forth twins, and one was named Perez. Now, let's look over at the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zipporah by Tamarah. Now, there's that. He begot those twins by his daughter-in-law. Incest. You can go back and read the story. It's an interesting story. But Judah committed incest. The sin of incest came in. And you read the rest of it now. Perez begot Hemeron, Hezron, Hezron Ram, Ram Abdimabad, Abdimabab somebody else, Naphat Salmon, Salmon Boaz, Boaz Rahab, Salmon Boaz by Rahab, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Now, if you count those, you will find that David is the 10th generation beyond. David is the 10th generation beyond Judah. It could not come before David because he was under the curse of incest. That fall, when the people rebelled and asked for a king before it was time, God took one out of a tribe not cursed with incest, Benjamin. David came. David was the 10th. You can add it up. You'll see it's true. Anyway, that curse of incest is recorded there. I'd like to say I was smart enough to figure it out. I wasn't. Derek Prince figured it out. That's where I picked it up. So, incest, illegitimacy, runs 10 generations. Let's look at Leviticus 18. This covers incest. It covers adultery. It covers bestiality. It covers any kind of sexual sin you can think of, practically. You shall not lie with the male as with a woman. That's verse 27 of Leviticus 18. You shall not mate with any beast to defile yourself, nor shall a woman stand before a beast to mate with. It's a perversion. And I say to you, you shall not lie with your mate as you would with a beast. You ever watched beast mate? They do things that human beings aren't supposed to do, but modern preachers will tell you it's okay. I mean, they don't want to offend anybody, so they say, well, that's fine. But I say to you, human beings are not supposed to act like dogs or cows or rats. That's the way they mate. They use their tongue to clean things. Human beings aren't supposed to mate like that. Says you won't mate, you don't lay with them as an animal. Okay. You're the image of God, created in His image. That word image, you know what that word image means? It's the modern Hebrew comes down to have your photograph taken. The word image. Said you're created in the image and likeness of God. That word image is the modern Hebrew word for having your photograph taken. Hallelujah. Do not defile yourself with any of these things. Do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you. Do not defile yourselves, for I am the Lord your God. If you bring yourself under a curse, that's a violation of the law which brings you under a curse for four generations. Curses you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You're not supposed to be in the occult, seek knowledge apart from God. That's what the occult is. It's the hidden things. The occult means hidden. It brings a curse. You're not supposed to be rereading the horoscope to figure out what's going to happen. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be reading the tarot cards. Go to the card layer. You know, I'll always remember these young ladies. They said, well, we went to the card layer. We went to the fortune teller. We didn't really believe him. We really didn't believe him, but we just wanted to see what he had to say. He didn't mean anything to us. We just went in there to see what he had to say. You know, we just having a good time. Hope you enjoyed yourself. You cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Tell me, ladies, how would you feel if your husband came home and said to you, I was on my home, we were coming home today, you know, we passed the house of ill repute up there. And I just wondered really what it was like up there. I didn't mean anything to me. I just wanted to go see what it was like. That's all right, isn't it? I'm afraid not many of y'all would say, that's okay, honey. I understand. That's fine. I don't mind. God doesn't say that either. He says, no, that's an abomination to me for you to do such a thing. You have defiled. And he considers going to the card layer, going to the witch doctor, going to the fortune teller, using the occult games as spiritual adultery. To him, it's fornication. And he calls it fornication in the prophets. And it brings you under a curse. If your parents did it, Irma will tell you that Derek Prince discerned the curse of the fortune teller on her. Told her she was under the curse of the fortune teller. She went home and asked her parents, said, yeah. And she prayed for it, and it was like lifting a bell jar from around her, according to her testimony. So, Deuteronomy 18. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Well, Glenn is saying that you're not supposed to have sex with your wife during a menstrual flow. Praise the Lord God. I think you ought to read all the verse. Read that. It's very interesting. And it shows you how God feels. Now, you got to understand that these are God's feelings. He said, I am the Lord. I do not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you don't get your righteousness from this. You get your righteousness from Jesus Christ. But I tell you, people, when you disobey this, you rebel. You're rebelling against God. And the evil angel comes to you. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. To rebel against God brings a curse. The curse of rebellion. The voice of the Lord your God. And carefully observe all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set them on high above all the nations of this earth. Well, what do you mean the voice of the Lord? Well, you have to understand that when the law was established for your forefathers, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. It says that in Galatians. And they stood on the side of the mountain out there, and they read this law. And they said, we agree, amen, so be it happen to us, if we obey not. And it was a curse from which there was no deliverance. Only till Jesus Christ came could these curses be broken. They followed through as surely as the sun rose, just like 10 generations from Judah until the king could come. They stood on the, your forebears, they stood on the side of the mountain, they accepted the blessings and they accepted the curses. It's all recorded in Deuteronomy if you want to read it. We don't have time to go into all of that. I just tell you it's there for your reading. And if you read this, there are 14 verses of blessings. He'll bless everything. So he's going to bless, if you obey, he'll bless you in the country, bless the fruit of your body, bless your herds, bless your basket. You'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The enemies rise against you shall be defeated. Command blessings on your storehouses. Establish you as a holy people. You're going to be on the top and not on the bottom. You're going to be the head and not tail. All of that. And they will chase you down the road and overtake you. Gene Moody says that if you obey God's law, the angels will bring the blessings to you. If you break the law, you're in rebellion and the evil angel will come. I read you all about the evil angel, about the false counselor, about the coach yesterday. It's in Proverbs 17:11. And the evil angel will come. The distressing spirit is what it's called. The spirit of ill will. The spirit of distressing spirit. How many of y'all have had a distressing spirit come on you? Oh, you didn't feel good. I mean, suddenly you're just depressed and you're heavy. It's feel like somebody beating you with a stick and you're confused and your mind. Y'all never had. I'm the only one that's ever happened to. And you got to sit down and you say, oh, God, what's happening to me? And you stand against it. And we will, now the curses, Glenn once asked me to go through this and make a list of all the diseases. And I made the list. I don't know what he did with it, but it covered everything. It covered every organ, every system in the body. And it says that you're going to be in astonishment. It says your children are going to be taken off and your eyes are going blind looking out the window waiting for them to come home. Americans are suffering that right now. How many children we see on the pictures of them on the milk carton?
Yes.
16-year-old girl disappeared. 14, 5-year-old children disappear. The parents stare out the window waiting for them to come back. Where are they? Your children go into rebellion and leave, and you don't ever hear from them again. You look out there and you see somebody else killing your ox. You raise a crop, somebody else gets to eat it. You work like a dog, and somebody else gets the benefits of it. That's the curse. That's all under the curse. It's all in here. I advise you to read it. I'm not going to go any further. But let's look at Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea, chapter 4. This is the whoredom curse. I can talk an hour and a half about this one curse, but it's a curse brought on by idolatry and sexual immorality. Brought on because the people were worshiping false idols. They were using divination. They were going up to the ritual at harlots, which were the priestess in the temple making an offering and to the god, and it was sort of a house of ill repute. It had both male and female in it for the use of both sexes and for same-sex relationships. It's called the grove, the astropole. You'll find them all the way through the Old Testament. And what does he say here? He says, my people destroyed, verse 5, 6, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest over for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Goes on, says they're going to chain their glory to slain, to shame. They're going to eat and not have enough. They're going to be gluttonous. They'll commit horology but not increase. They're going to be sterile. Horology, wine, and new wine is going to put the heart in bondage. It says that the brides are going to commit adultery and the daughters are going to be harlots. It is from this curse that comes in all the sexual perversion. All the sexual perversion. The flashes, the peeping toms, the transvestites, the homosexuals, the lesbians, the whoremongering spirits, all these things come in through this curse. And it comes in, idolatry, divination, and sexual sin in your ancestors. Those are the three things that bring it in. Idolatry, sexual sin, divination. And it passes down through families. This is the reason you will see a young man who says, I've always been a woman trapped in a man's body. Got that spirit of perversion that came in at birth because of this curse. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, I can talk a lot more. There are a lot more curses. Let's look at Psalms 107. We'll finish with that one. I'll be here until 6 o'clock just trying to do the teaching if I try to cover everything. But let's look at Psalm 109. Now, this is a psalm that's quoted by Peter in Acts 1, speaking of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. David says, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Now, if you look in Proverbs 17:13, it said, if you reward evil for good, evil will not leave your household. I mean, somebody tries to do a good thing for you, and you turn around and stab them in the back, you know, then evil will not leave your house. That's what it says. Now, let's see what it says here. It set a wicked man over him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he's judged, let him find guilty. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless. His wife a widow. Let his children beg and be vagabonds. Let them seek their bread from desolate places. Let a creditor seize all he has. Let strangers plunder his labor. Let none expend mercy to him. Nor let there be any to favor his father's children. Let his prosperity be cut off. The generation be... Let his name be blotted out. We'll stop there. That's poverty, vagabond, and poverty, and destruction of the family. And this curse, generally, you see the people who come in to rescue missions was laboring under this curse. And until this curse is broken, you'll help them physically, and you can bring them to know the Lord. But until you break this curse, they're still going to have trouble never being able to settle down, never finding putting down roots, always have financial problems. Even though they have a good job, they're always going to be in trouble because of the curse of poverty. Now, you will find that there are people who will say to you, but Ezekiel, Jeremiah 31:29, Ezekiel 18:2, counteract this. Now let's look at Ezekiel 18:2. Ezekiel 18:2 says, what do you mean when you use the proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That means that the fathers have sinned, and the children pay the penalty. And he says, as I live, says the Lord God, you shall use this proverb no more. And if you go on down, you'll find he speaks in that a child shall not die for the sins of his father. The father shall not die for the sins of the son. That's what it says. Shall not die. Well, that's the law. You look back in Deuteronomy 24:16. Let's look back in Deuteronomy 24:16. And you'll see that it says that already. That's nothing new. Deuteronomy 24:16 says, the father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for their own sin. And this was carried out in 2 Kings 14:10, where the king killed the people who had murdered his father but did not kill their children. Deuteronomy 24:16. But it simply says the children that you shall not put them to death, but that don't mean you ain't going to labor in poverty the rest of your life. And they say, well, I thought that when I got saved that the curse was broken. It says in Galatians 3:16 that Jesus Christ was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. And that meant that the curse was broken automatically. I said, really? Well, it also says in Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our sorrow and our grief, or our sickness and our pain. Those two words, that means sickness and pain. The old King James translates them sorrow and grief. Every other translation, German translates it illness and schmell, which means pain. And any place else the word grief appears, it's sickness. And where sorrow is pain. So he bore our sickness and our pain. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our shalom was placed upon him. And by his stripes we have been healed. Now, 1 Peter 2 looks back and says, by his stripes we were healed. Well, now, if it's automatic, why we got sick Christians? Why does James say, if there be any sick among you, let them come and have the elders anoint them and the prayer of faith will raise them up? Because it's not automatic. You have to claim it, and you got to claim deliverance. Why does it say that because he was, that he took our poverty that we might have his wealth? Is that automatic? Well, you have to claim it. There are a number of exchanges made at the cross. I don't intend to preach all of them. But you have to claim them. You've got to claim the benefits of the cross. Are you automatically saved, or do you have to claim the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ? You have to repent of your sin and hold them up to him and say, Lord, be Lord of my life. In him he granted us repentance and forgiveness of sin. It came, but we've got to accept it. It's not automatic, people. And the deliverance from the curse is not automatic. Lots of people who don't believe in the supernatural and will do anything to explain it away will explain this away on the basis of Ezekiel 18:2 and Jeremiah 31:29. Jeremiah 31:29 said is the beginning of the institution of the prophecy of the new covenant that is coming. So it's not automatic. You've got to claim it. Okay. Galatians 3:13 and 3:29 first says Jesus Christ was made a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. And 29 says, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you be the seed of Abraham. Let's just look briefly at Lamentations 5. And I'll leave this for you, because I can talk an hour and a half about this. But Lamentations 5, starting in verse 7. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. And he goes on. And he speaks of the bondage that comes, from the poverty that comes, from the infirmity that comes, from the rape that comes, the abuse, the hard labor, the isolation, the sadness, the heaviness, the blindness, the desolation. And at the end, in verse 20, he says, why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? And then he says, turn us back to you, O Lord. And we will be restored. He says, God, give us a repentance. Turn us, Lord, back to you. Turn us. Turn us back to you, Lord, and we will be restored. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, what was it you just witnessed to me? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I say to you today, where in the Bible does it say that you're supposed to repent of the sins of your ancestors? Look at Leviticus 26. This is the clearest verse. There's several others. Leviticus 26:40. You can also find it in Daniel 9:20. But if we confessed their iniquity, in verse 39 he says, those who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemy's land, also in their father's iniquity which are with them, they shall waste away. But If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me and were contrary to me, and their uncircumcised hearts are humble and remember their gift, I remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, and I remember the land. He goes on. And so he says, if you repent of your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers, and claim that the curse has been broken by Jesus Christ, claim the breaking of the curse, because Jesus was made a curse for you, the exchange made the cross, when he took the curse upon himself of the broken law, God will set you free, and your children, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and on incest for the 10th generation. Now, incest is the hidden crime, the secret crime, the one nobody talks about. It's a family secret, the closet sin. And it perpetrates and it runs in families. And child molestation, it runs from one generation to the next, and reduplicates itself. There's always one poor girl who bears this, and she's always told her it's her fault. And she's made to believe it's her fault. And it runs through the family. Sometimes it's all the girls, but generally they pick out one. The demons do. If that's been you, we can break the curse on you, and it won't pass on to your daughters. If that's been you, that you molested your daughters, we can break the curse, and it won't pass on to your sons and your daughters to be replicated, and will set you free. You confess it, confess it as sin, and ask God to break it, and command the demon of incest to come out of you and fornication. God will set you free from it. You don't have to yell it out. I'm gonna call it out. All you gotta do is let it go. If you're afraid that you're gonna be undignified, that you're gonna make a spectacle of yourself. And you hold it down because you're afraid what's going to happen. You get to keep your demon. If you lose your dignity when you lose it, you can get your dignity back. Everybody else got their own problems. They don't really know what came out. And they just happy you got free. I lay right over there in my own vomitus. Right over there in my own, I roll in it. Irma tells a story about the time she had her new shoes and said somebody vomited and filled up her coat pocket and her shoe with vomitus. I mean, you can get your dignity back, but for God's sakes, let your demons go. Don't walk out of here with them. Don't suppress it and hold on. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. Let it go. Let what happens happen. God's not going to hurt you. I've been thrown through this ceiling. I've been thrown through four layers of these folding chairs. And when we had these steel folding chairs, I've been thrown through 6-8 rows of them, and I've never been hurt. God's in charge. I remember one day I was sitting right over there, and my head broke that one of those tile up there in the ceiling. I landed over here. But I got up and it didn't bother me at all. I wasn't even sore. Why? Because God had angels there to catch me. If you trust in the Holy Ghost, I don't use catchers. You see these people, they're praying for folks, and they got somebody running behind them catching them. I figure the Holy Ghost is going to put you down. He ain't going to let you get hurt. He ain't going to let you get hurt. Now, if you're going to fall, you just want to fall over. You with me, you better look out, because ain't nobody behind you. I don't believe in catchers. I have folks run. I said, oh, go and sit down. Most of the folks that fell over in the Bible fell forward. I ain't found where one of them fell backwards. Most of them fell on their face. But that's another point. Praise you and bless you. But God is perfectly, God is sovereign. He does what God wants to do. Praise God. Let's stop for a few minutes here and everybody stand up and jump up and down and get their blood to circulating a little bit. Jump up and down and praise God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him, people. Praise him. He inhabits the praises of Israel. He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. He said he has perfected praise that he might silence the voice of the enemy and the accuser. Praise you, Lord God. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, he has perfected praise that he might silence the voice of the accuser. In the name of Jesus, you want the voice of the accuser silenced? Praise him. Praise him, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, say, dear Lord, I love you. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, was crucified on the cross, shed his blood for my sin, died, buried, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, to ever make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of God. I have been accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ bore my sin. He bore the curse of the law for me, that I might be free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I hold up the sins of my ancestors. I hold up my sin. Lord Jesus, I confess my iniquity, my rebellion, and all its evil consequences, and the iniquity of my fathers, their rebellion, and all of their evil consequences. I confess it is sin. I ask that the curse be broken on me and my children forever. In the name of Jesus, I break all these curses. Back 10 generations in Jesus' name. I break the curse of the vagabond. The curse of the poverty. The curse of fornication. The curse of whoredom. The curse of idolatry. The curse of iniquity. The curse of incest. The curse of the bastard. And all the other curses. I ask forgiveness on the blood of Jesus Christ. And I bind these demons. And I command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. For it is written in Joel 2:32. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now. In Jesus' name. Let's everybody sit down now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, who's ever wounded me, abused me, stolen from me in any way. I forgive them. I repent from vengeance. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch me that I might forgive from my heart, that I might repent from revenge. In the name of Jesus, I break all ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever used me or abused me, control me in any way, contrary to the will of God, anyone I've ever had sex with, outside of matrimony, anyone I've ever lusted after, I ask forgiveness.
I ask
that the curse be broken.
And the soul ties be broken.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I call back my soul.
I break
all the curses
of the stolen soul,
of the hunter of souls.
Lord Jesus,
send forth your angels
to break any containers
containing part of my soul.
Lord, send the ministering spirits
to gather it up
and bring it back.
You say in your word
that you will lead me beside green pastures and still waters
and restore my soul.
Restore me, Lord.
Make me the child of God
you envisioned before the foundation of the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
I release from me
any foreign soul
that's come in any way.
In the name of Jesus,
command it to go.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now, Lord Jesus, I just come against all the spirits of fornication, Lord, all the spirits of incest, all the bastard spirits in the name of Jesus, all the spirits of the occult, all the spirits of divination in the name of Jesus. I come against all the spirits of divination, all the spirits of the Ouija board, all the spirits of the card layer, all the spirits of the horoscope, all the spirits of ESP, all spirits of precognition, all spirits of, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bind these things and I command them to leave God's people. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Just be gone. All of you divination spirits, all spirits of divination and witchcraft, I break the power of witchcraft, the power of domination, intimidation, manipulation to bring about domination. I bind the spirit of Jezebel and witchcraft. I bind the Ahab spirits and I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the Ahab, Jezebel spirits and I break their power over God's people in the name of Jesus. I break the power of sexual sin in the name of Jesus. I break the power of this unclean demons in the name of Jesus. I break the power of incest. I break the power of incest. Incest, I bind you and command you to be gone. Rape and sexual molestation, I break your power over God's people in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft that came in through, all witchcraft, all bondage to witchcraft, bondage to fear, fear, witchcraft fear, bondage to fear, I break your power and command you to leave God's people now. I bind the spirit of poverty. I bind the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. I break the power of poverty in the vagabond and command it to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus.
Turn God's people loose now. Turn them loose. All fear, rejection and fear. All spirits of stubbornness, pride, ego, pride, and vanity, I bind you and command you to leave. Leave God's people now. Just go. In the name of Jesus.
I break all the power of the infirmity spirits that have come in now. I break the power of allergies in the name of Jesus. All allergy spirits. Come out, allergies, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, allergies, infirmities and allergies in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Come out, allergies and hay fever and sinus problems in the name of Jesus. Digestive problems in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All allergy problems, be gone. Be gone. Loose God's people. I break your power. And I bind you and command you to leave God's people. All spirits of vertigo and tinnitus, be gone. All spirits of deafness and secretory otitis, be gone.
All spirits of deafness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Leave God's people. I speak to headaches. I speak to migraine headaches. I speak to tension headaches. I speak to allergenic headaches. I bind you and command you to leave God's people now. Just go in the name of Jesus. I speak to sinus problems. Go. Sinus problems. I speak to sinus problems. I speak to glaucoma. I speak to allergy in the eyes. I speak to conjunctivitis. Go in the name of Jesus. Just go. I speak to blindness. I speak to optic atrophy in the name of Jesus. I speak to glaucoma. I speak to... Praise your Lord God. I bind cataracts. All cataracts, I break your power. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All allergy. Allergy. Go. Go. I speak to herpes. Herpes stomatitis. Be gone. Speak to shingles. Be gone. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of herpes. I break the power of shingles. In the name of Jesus, I bind herpes. In the name of Jesus, come out of their mouths. Come out of their ganglions. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Come out. I speak to all duodenal ulcers, all gastritis, all... Pylori helia in the name, Heliobacter in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone. I speak to all colitis and Crohn's disease and enteritis in the name of Jesus and pancreatitis. I break your power. I bind you in Jesus' name and command you to leave God's people. Speak to all gingivitis in the name of Jesus. All root canals, all cavities, all decay. And I speak healing to the teeth. Lord, I ask you to put crowns on the teeth, Lord God. That you fix their teeth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing, Lord God, that they know they've been healed. I speak gold crowns to their teeth in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I speak healing and restitution to the teeth and to the tongues, Lord, and to the larynx, Lord. I speak healing to the lungs. I bind emphysema and cancer. I bind cancer of the lung, cancer of the larynx, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the colon, cancer of the ovaries, cancer of the cervix, cancer of the breast. I bind the spirit of cancer. I break its power. I command all brain tumors to be gone, all other cancers to leave. We break cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind it and command it to be gone. Go, cancer, go. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind kidney problems. I bind kidney stones in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind kidney stones, kidney infection, pyelitis, nephritis. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind urethritis. I bind cystitis. I bind prostatitis in the name of Jesus. I bind impotence in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind dyspareunia in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to go. I bind premature climactic conditions in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind premature climax, no climax. I bind dyspareunia in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. All sexual dysfunction, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. 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 Go in the name of Jesus. I bind dysmenorrhea in the name of Jesus. I bind PMS in the name of Jesus. I break the power of PMS in the name of Jesus. PMS, I bind you and I break your power and I command it to be gone. In the name of Jesus. All PMS, go. All fibroid tumors, go. Go, go. All cancer of the ovary, go. All cyst of the ovary, I bind you. All cervicitis, cervical cancer, go. In the name of Jesus. All chlamydia, go. In the name of Jesus Christ. All trichomonas, go. In the name of Jesus. All yeast, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. I command you to be gone. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I bind diabetes and arthritis. I break the power of arthritis and bitterness in the name of Jesus. The bitter spirit, the bitter spirit, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Arthritis and high blood pressure, I bind you. I speak healing to the joints. I speak healing to the bones and the joints and the backbones in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of serpentina. Serpentina, come out.
In Jesus' name, be gone. Praise your name. Tonsillitis and bronchitis, come out. And pneumonia, come out. In the name of Jesus. Infections, I bind you and I break your power. Influenza viruses, I break your power. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Emphysema, go. I break your power. I bind you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We praise you and we bless you, Lord Jesus. I come against colitis, cancer of the colon. I come against proctitis, hemorrhoids. Break the power of hemorrhoids, the curse of the hemorrhoids. Come against bondages, bondages to nicotine, to alcohol, to drugs, to sex. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise and bless you. Infectious diseases, come out. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Vector diseases, come out. Come out. All you vector diseases, all you rickettsial diseases, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you parasitic diseases, come out in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Praise your Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I speak healing now, Lord God. I speak healing, Lord God. Healing. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I speak healing, Lord. I speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to pour down on your people. Healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pull the demons out, Lord God. Speak healing and restitution to them in the name of Jesus. Healing to your people, Lord. Healing. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody got anything else they want to call out? Fungus diseases. Break the power of fungus diseases. Come out of there, fungus. Curse you to your roots. Command you to leave. Go. Go, lupus. Let lupo. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The sign of the wolf. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Lupus. Lupus erythematosus. Come out. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Great God. Mighty God. Glorious God, we praise your name. Pleurisy. Come out. Pleurisy. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Diabetes. We break the power of diabetes. Lord, I speak healing to the people that have diabetic neuropathy in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to the people, Lord, who have diabetic neuropathy, who have diabetic arterial insufficiency, Lord God, who have bad feet, bad hands, bad nerves. In the name of Jesus, bad kidneys, Lord God, bad heart. We speak healing to them now. Oh, Lord Jesus, heal them. Heal them, Lord. Thank you for it now, Lord God. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.